Hello, I'm Michael Washam, and in this webcast, I'm going to walk you through some of the updates that we've added to the Windows Azure PowerShell Cmdlets 2.0 update. So, what's new? First off, we've taken the existing Access Control Service PowerShell Cmdlets and the Windows Azure Core PowerShell Cmdlets and combined these into a single package. So, when you install one package, you get both sets. We've also cleaned up some of the PowerShell Cmdlets names, just to make them fit a little bit better with the existing PowerShell design guidelines. And of course, all the changes are documented out on our CodePlex site. We've added lots of new functionality to enable better automation of Windows Azure hosted service deployments, including creating new hosted services and storage accounts, updating, removing them, etc. We've also added some support around downloading data from storage and configuring and enabling storage analytics. We've also added a lot of functionality around managing your SQL Azure server deployment. So you can now create and remove SQL Azure servers, configure firewall rules, and reset all your pa the passwords on your SQL Azure servers as well. And we've also invested heavily in enabling rich diagnostic support. So with the new PowerShell Cmdlets, you'll be able to not only configure your diagnostic settings, but you'll also be able to download the data as well. So I don't have a lot of slides, but I do have a couple of demos I want to show you. So let's just jump over to a tool I'm using. It's called Power GUI, and we'll get started. So just to set the stage where I'm at, I have a script that I'm clearing the screen. I'm calling remove module. This is all debugging stuff. The key is adding the PowerShell snap-in WAPPS cmdlets. This is a snap-in or module that you can use after you install the Windows Azure PowerShell Cmdlets 2.0. I also have a module that I import some diagnostic helper functions. If you're curious what all these are, you can actually download all this these from various diagnostics examples on my blog. I'm setting my subscription ID, and I'm loading up my management certificate. From here, I'm just going to walk you through some of the basics of using the cmdlets before we actually open up some really cool samples. So first thing I'm going to call is get hosted service, and this takes a service name. Oops, another service binding. And I already have a service name created, so I'm going to call pass that. And it also wants my subscription ID and my certificate. Okay, so just to show you what this does, it's going to actually these are variables or this service name I've defined in the helper function or the helper module. But you can see it's returning back all the details around this service. It's hosted in South Central US. There's a certificate. There's the actual service name. So from there, I can pipe the results out to another cmdlet called get deployment. Get deployment wants a slot, stage or production. So I'm going to tell it production. And from there, let's go ahead and run that just so you can see what the output is. And you can see we actually got the deployment back. We got the deployment ID. We got all the certificate configuration just like before. We got all the configuration actually for the entire service. So we can actually do all kinds of interesting things with that deployment. We can perform a BIP swap. We can set it to turn the deployment off. We can remove the deployment. We can do almost anything we need to. To also got some really good samples of what we can do with diagnostics. I'll show you here in just a little while. But this is just kind of give you a set so how you can see how PowerShell shell can interact with the power or with your Windows Azure service. So I'm gonna go ahead and scratch that, and let me walk you through a deployment script that we've already put together. So this is a pretty big script. But what it does, it demonstrates how to use all the PowerShell cmdlets from beginning to end to actually take an existing hosted service, the package and configuration, and deploy it out to Windows Azure without, completely automated, without ever touching the portal other than getting your subscription ID. So you can see we have a configuration file here. It's actually, I'm calling the get content cmdlet, reading in this XML file, and I'm reading in all the settings that we need to deploy this script. The subscription ID, the hosted service name, label, location, et cetera, et cetera. From there, I'm calling the get hosted services cmdlet, just like I showed you. And if the hosted service is not there, if it's null, we're actually going to create the new hosted service using the new hosted service cmdlet. If it already exists, we just write already exists, and we're going to move on to actually just deploying that out to staging. I'm using the add certificate commandlet to add the certificate to my new hosted service or the existing hosted service, whichever. From there, check in to see if the storage account exists by calling get storage account. If it doesn't exist, we create it by calling the new storage account commandlet. From there, we actually save all this stuff into our configuration file so we have the connection string ready for next time we want to deploy. Once we have the storage account set, we get the deployment, the staging deployment, and we're actually going to take that and call new deployment. And new deployment commandlet takes the package name, which is your CS package file, and your configuration, which is a CFG, I think it's what it is, and the label. And we pass that output to get operation status, wait to complete. So we basically wait for this deployment, the upload of your package to the service to happen. Once it's moved out there, or once it's actually uploaded and deployed, we set the deployment status to be running to actually start the service. And we call perform and we call move deployment to actually change this over. Okay, and once we call move deployment, it'll actually take it from staging and move it over to production. And to actually run this script, I have a batch file that actually runs it. So let's see. So you can see the script is pretty simple. It just calls PowerShell and passes the PowerShell script. So I'm gonna go ahead and run that and just to watch it deploy. You won't actually see an update for just a few minutes till it does everything, but we'll actually see some output that shows you that it is uploading the package out to the Windows Azure service. In about 10 to 20 minutes from now, it'll actually be complete. So I guess I'll come back to this whenever it has some output. So moving on. So we've added lots of functionality around deployment, and we've also added a lot of functionality around SQL Azure. So let me clear this out, and I'll show you some of the stuff we can do with SQL Azure. So let's see, just to get started. So I'm going to call get SQL Azure server, and I'm going to pass it. Not the server name. I'm going to pass my certificate, and I'm going to pass my subscription ID. So, get SQL Azure server. If you do not pass a specific server name, will actually return back all of your server names. So, as you can see, I have two servers out here, and what I could do with these is I can actually pipe those servers out to for each. And I can manage them whatever I need to do. I could actually remove them. I could reset the password. I could add SQL Azure firewall rules. So I'll show you a couple of those. I'm going to take the current object out of that collection, and I'm going to pipe it out to new SQL Azure firewall rule. I'll give it a rule name and start IP address and an end IP address. Okay. And I can also, if I wanted to, I can set the passwords on these servers as well. So maybe I'm, configuring all this for the first time, or maybe I'm just resetting everything. So I can say set SQL Azure password, and I can set new password, my password, give it some really complicated name, and just run the script. And it'll actually enumerate all the servers that I have in my subscription. Add these firewall rules to them and actually reset the password on all of them as well. So it'll take a few minutes to run. Okay, and we're updated. Okay, so let me show you another interesting thing you can do with SQL Azure. So in addition to configuring existing servers, I can also call new SQL Azure server. And with this, I need to specify a login. So I'll say mwashem. Admin login password. Let's say here, I'll use my really complicated password from here. And I also need the cert and the subscription ID as well to create these new servers. Authenticate. And I'll go ahead and hit F5. Oops. And of course, it wants a location. I always forget about that. So let's say South Central US. You can actually script this out as well. So we could actually take the output of this new SQL Azure server, and just like below, we could specify the firewall rules and the password on it as well if we wanted to reset it. Of course, we set the password when we created it. So now when we call Git SQLizer server, you'll see that we now have three servers instead of just two. And you can see the new server right there, South Central US. All from just a one or two line in PowerShell. Much faster than going out to the portal if you have to do a bunch of these. Okay, so let's check in on our deployment real quick to see if we're still uploading. Okay, so you can see that we added the certificate. I deployed to a service that already existed, and we're uploading the package out to blob storage now. Okay, and the deployment script is actually posted up on my blog. I think the title starts with Automate It, and I posted the actual script you can download out of blob storage directly and try it out for yourself. Okay, so let's take a look. Another area of functionality that we've added with this update is enabling and disabling of storage analytics. So I have a snippet that allows me to enable everything with storage analytics. You can see it's got a lot of options. I have log and delete, read, write, metrics enabled. Basically, every setting that you can configure for storage analytics, you can enable directly from PowerShell now. Before, the only way to really do this was to download a sample or to actually write some code to manipulate the REST service. So pretty straightforward. You call this once for each service name, table, key, or blob, and it'll actually configure your settings. Not only can you set the settings from your script, you can also figure out what they currently are. So I can say Git storage analytics settings for each service, and it'll return back the current settings I'm using. Just scroll through and you can see metrics are enabled, include APIs, I have a retention policy, etc. And we also added some functionality to actually download the storage analytics data. So let's see, I think it saves storage analytics for metrics. Now this is quite a lot of code, but I'm basically downloading lots of variations of storage analytics. I'm downloading the actual raw data from the blob storage, and I'm saving it to a CSV file. I'm downloading the capacity, tells me how much blob storage I'm currently using, and the transactions metrics. And I'm doing this for each service, blob, table, and queue. The only difference is blob is the only one that actually has a capacity data type. The only other ones only have the raw data and transactions. And if you really want, what we actually do, we download the data and put it in a single file. If you want the raw data that the storage analytics service generates, you can actually call save container and specify the dollar sign logs container, and it'll actually download all the raw data to your file system. Keep in mind that the dollar sign is a reserved character in PowerShell, so you do have to escape it with the apostrophe. Or actually, it's not the apostrophe, that's whatever the key is, or the character by the tilde. Okay. So one more. Let's talk a little bit about diagnostics. So I do have an hour-long session that I did a build that goes very, very deep into diagnostics, covers anything and everything you can do with diagnostics. But I'm just going to give you a little bit of a sample here so you know what's available. So first off, I already have some diagnostics configured in my in a service. So I'm just going to go ahead and print those settings out using a helper function I've written called print diagnostic settings. And print diagnostic settings is kind of a long function, but I've actually posted this on my blog. Just go up and search for print diagnostics and it should come up. And it's one of those, it's a function, so all you have to do is copy and paste it into your script or a helper module like I've included here, and you can use this to view your diagnostics. It's color-coded, not the greatest designer, but it's not too bad. The blue is actually specified for each role, and green is each setting within each role. So you can see I have currently have Windows Azure logs set to verbose, I have diagnostic logs disabled, I have a few counters enabled, etc. So we can actually print all the current diagnostic settings, and not only that, we can actually download the data too. So I can call, I have a helper function called getDiagRoles I've written that basically returns back a collection of all your roles that have diagnostics enabled on them. And I can pipe that out to for each. And using the PowerShell current object operator, I don't know if that's actually what it's called, but that's what it is. I can call get Windows Azure log. And I have verbose set, so I might have a lot of traces. Actually, I shouldn't have too many. But I can do this, and it'll actually, all the data that's been transferred up to storage, it'll actually pipe it directly to the console, and you can see it kind of printing here. So you can see I have my sources running. These are just where I've been using the trace system diagnostics.trace class. You can see we have an exception here. We have some informational messages here as well. So you can basically use PowerShell to completely monitor your application all from, just a recurring task, for instance. And you can do some pretty interesting stuff with it. Say we wanted to look, pull only the exceptions that have it, or only the events that have an exception in the message. I can pipe that out to the where operator, and I can say where dot, like using the message property, dot message, like operator, and like I can use wildcards, and I'll say exception. Okay, so I should run this exact same query, except now it's only going to show me messages that actually have the word exception in them. So you can scroll up and look at the output, and you can see that we do have a couple of exceptions that have been thrown, and we could troubleshoot that. Another interesting thing that we've added, in addition, you can do the same thing with event logs and diagnostic logs, etc. We've also added another nice piece of functionality around perfmon logs. One other thing I forgot to tell you is each one of these also has a local path argument, so you can actually download the data to a file to the file system for later analysis. So that's what I'm going to do with perfmon. I'm going to say build a path where I'm going to save the files up, and I'm going to, since I'm going to download the data for each role, I'm going to make the name unique. And if you notice, the extension is going to be BLG. So perfmon, the binary log extension is .blg. So our get perfmon log commandlet actually takes a format argument. So we can say format, and we can say BLG or CSV, and we can actually download this data directly to the file system, and it's smart enough to convert it over to perfmon log format for us. So you can see it's calling get perfmon logs. It's downloading records. Hopefully it shouldn't take too long. I don't think I have too much data. Okay, so it already did it for one of the roles. Now it's on the other three. So you can go over here and look, and you can see that we actually do have get perfmon. We actually have BLG data from all the roles in our Windows Azure service. So while that's loading up, I'm going to show you one more piece of functionality we've added, and this is around storage. We don't have that. We didn't have the capability of a full storage client, but what we did do is we added the capability to actually download and clean up your storage data. Oh, and there's our perfmon counters. Okay, so you can see I had it enabled for a while, then I disabled it, then I re-enabled it, so you can see the duration. But we actually do have perfectly good charting capability for all the counters that you have on out there on that system. Okay, so another area of functionality that we've done is not only can you download your diagnostics data, but you can also download data directly out of blob storage. And the reason we did this is so you can download stuff like your IS logs. Oops, that's how you actually would set the IS logs. So I want the capability to save logs locally. There we go. So we have a commandlet called save container that takes a container name, the local path you want to save it to, and storage account. So I'll go ahead and run these, and I have three different containers out there. I don't know if there's data in all three, but so we have data in our failed request log files and our log files. But you can see we actually did download all of our web logs. Don't have a lot for this example, but you get the idea. And these also do take a, or they do also have an argument that you can actually, I'm sorry, not an argument, but there's also a clear container argument as well, so we can actually delete this data once we're done with it. Now, currently, we don't have a from and a to for the clear and save container. We're going to add that in the next release. So, if you want to manage your web logs without risking losing any, you do have to keep your cleanup synchronized with when you actually transfer the log storage over. So, it's a little tricky for now, but we are going to fix that up very shortly. So, if you wanted to see how you can actually clear that data out, I have a little snippet that shows you how to clear everything. So if you wanted to clear your Windows Azure log, the Windows Event log, infrastructure log, perfmon log, and all your containers, it's pretty straightforward. It'll actually download all the data, clean it up, and that's pretty much it. So you can see, we actually did do our deployment. We've done a deployed the latest package. We've deployed the service. We've performed VIP swap, all from PowerShell. No portal UI needed. So let me go back to my slides and I'll go ahead and wrap this up. Oops, I started on the first one. Oh, no, I didn't. And some additional resources, obviously, to download the PowerShell commandlets are at on our CodePlex site, WAPPOWERSHELL.codeplex.com. And I'm the current owner of the PowerShell commandlet, so I look to me to be writing a lot of good samples. And I've already seen a lot of the MVPs and other Windows Azure users are currently writing samples, so this is great. Hopefully, we can put together just a giant ecosystem of handy scripts so you don't have to do a lot of work to get these going. But that's pretty much it. Thank you for attending our webcast.